Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right, everybody thought that here in New York, a couple of days ago, when we were getting orangey, smoky skies, that it was due to the Canadian forest fires. Well, yesterday on SmackDown, we actually found out that that actually was not the cause. Believe it or not, it was Scarlett. Scarlett spraying all of New York. There you go. Oh, man. She's getting a lot of heat right now. You know, lighthearted heat, obviously. I tell you, I enjoyed this segment yesterday with Scarlett and Cross. Why? More than anything else, because they're finally having Scarlett get a little bit more involved. I mean, you know, she's beautiful and she's intimidating. And if you've actually paid close attention, she has been more of a potted plant than anything else. Why is she not, like, just like being, I don't get it. I don't get it. We've talked about it before. I don't know why they waited all this time. I mean, she's had a moment here and there, but for the most part, you know, outside of the Drew McIntyre stuff, maybe a little with Sheamus, you know, she's got to be a threat and not just eye candy in a potted plant. And that was the perception by a lot of people. So yesterday's SmackDown is going to be the focus of today's show. I want to welcome everyone to the Don Tony Show. It is June 10th. Yes, June 10th, 2023. Some of what I say on this show, people may not agree with. And trust me, if you follow these shows on a weekly basis, you know that I am a supporter of WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling. I'm a supporter of everything. Most of it I enjoy. The stuff that I feel I need to criticize, I do. And I'm probably going to share a little bit of an unpopular opinion, but I don't care. I express the truth. You know, we'll have some bragging rights later on. Because remember, my friends, what show told you? Look, Charlotte versus Asuka, we all knew that was happening. When Io Sky was announced for Money in the Bank 2 weeks ago, we knew that whoever Asuka's opponent was going to be, it was obviously not going to be anybody who's in the Money in the Bank ladder match. The women's Money in the Bank ladder match has been the most predictable lineup so far. We knew Bayley was going to qualify. If she qualifies, Io Sky qualifies. And you look even on Raw, if this person qualifies, this person qualifies. You knew that was going to be the route. And we all talked about Charlotte, but what show told you to get used to the term undisputed on SmackDown? What show told you that undisputed is the new term that will be used for multiple SmackDown titles? Yes, Asuka yesterday presented with a new championship. They finally addressed the titles. Now, there's still more to do because Rhea Ripley still has an issue with her championship. But in a few moments, I'm going to go on WWE's website live. I want to show you something very interesting. It also has to do with Roman Reigns' current championship. But that is Asuka's new belt. I like the design. White is a nice neutral design. I know there's a lot of you out there that are kind of getting sick of this design. Get used to it. This is what they market. This is what they present to people outside of WWE. They are redesigning it. But I think the bigger deal is it is no longer the SmackDown Women's Championship or the Raw Women's Championship. Currently, this is the Undisputed Championship. Gee, I guessed Raw would be the world, well, World Women's Championship. That wouldn't make sense. So they're going to have to come up with another term. But that is Asuka's new belt. But let me get into my immediate thoughts about yesterday's SmackDown. Yesterday, all the hype was about Jey Uso giving his decision. Is he with the Bloodline or is he with his brother Jimmy? And we got no decision yesterday. We got, and I'm not complaining about the match. Austin Theory versus Jey Uso was a lot of fun and it was a great match. But, you know, as great as the Bloodline storyline has been, I'm getting a little bit tired of WWE milking shit repeatedly. We talked about it way back when, almost a year ago, when we didn't know who was going to face Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle. And we all knew it was Drew McIntyre, and they were going to do a match between him and Sheamus. And then Sheamus, I can't compete. And that turned into 3 extra weeks. You think back, even Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they waited an extra month before doing what felt would be not just the most obvious, but what would flow the most. My friends, I can't take credit for this banner, but I personally think that they're going to be in their 70s. We ain't going to get a cougar. And by the way, that's not Paul Heyman. That's Paul Heyman's son. Because 30 years from now, Paul Heyman may not be on this earth. If he lives to be at the ripe old age in his 80s and 90s, God bless him. But this is what we're getting. I mean, to turn around and to give us, you know, bullshit on Friday. You know, an errant superkick. And the worst part about it, the errant superkick, is the Bloodline storyline has been so good. You know, it's cute. I see young wrestling fans that weren't even embryos yet, you know, back in the late 90s. And they're trying to tell everyone, no, this is the greatest storyline since Hogan Andre. And they weren't even alive at that time. This is good shit. The Bloodline storyline has been good shit. But I'm getting a little bit annoyed now at the blatant milking. You know, one thing about Triple H, we've confronted this for about 7-8 months now. People are starting to do it because they have no choice. It's obvious. A lot of Triple H's rehires have been major disappointments. Major disappointments. Is it the fault of the wrestlers? To a certain degree. Is it the fault of creative? Absolutely. You know, everybody, when something is great, Vince McMahon's name is never mentioned, but when something is bad on TV, that's Vince's fingerprints all over it. You know, so Triple H gets the criticism for a lot of the people that are brought back. But let's also acknowledge the fact that Triple H, with this creative, is just milking shit way too long. Just absolutely way too long. And here's another thing. As good as the writing for the Bloodline has been, that super kick yesterday, we all know, we watched it, we all know. All right, let's use what happened on AEW Dynamite when you had Mark Briscoe as the special guest referee in FTR versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. What happens? Dax Harwood is blinded from alcohol. And then Mark Briscoe goes up to him and Dax is blinded and he pile drives Mark Briscoe. Now a whole week goes by. And I'm talking storyline. And we're supposed to buy into the following week that Mark Briscoe has no idea that Dax was blinded. My point is, okay, you know, in pro wrestling, yeah, we're supposed to pretend that they don't have TV, that they don't go on social media, they don't see the replays of stuff. But when you're talking about this bloodline storyline, why would there be any tease whatsoever next week that Jey Uso's like, man, why'd you super kick me, man? Why'd you super? Come on. Seriously. Put me in a hospital, brain dead on life support, and I would be able to figure that out better. So I'm getting a little bit tired of this excess milking. Roman Reigns is going to show up next week, and he is going to die. And then the next week, the Usos are going to return. Then the week later, there'll be a fallout. And, oh, look, here comes Money in the Bank. And then Money in the Bank, a new chapter is created. And then after that, the Usos are going to show up, and Solo doesn't. And then a week after that, and then, and actually, you know, in the SummerSlam. You know, yesterday, I uploaded the latest Q&A. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about Cody Rhodes finishing his story. And, you know, after all of the analysis, all of the discussions that you and I have had since WrestleMania 39, I think we could sum up Cody Rhodes and why he will finish the story by beating Roman Reigns. And I think we could summarize this going forward. Simple. If Cody Rhodes ends up not beating the Roman Reigns, I sound like Bret Hart. If Cody Rhodes does not beat Roman Reigns for the championships, people will look back on this a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, as a colossal failure. An epic fail on Cody Rhodes' part. You look at yesterday, all right? Let's take this banner off the screen. This has nothing to do with WWE, but you look at yesterday. Impact Wrestling had their Against All Odds pay-per-view. And Alex Shelley, shocked. Alex Shelley wins the world championship, beating Steve Maclin. And yes, Chris Sabin also won the X Division title. The Motor City Machine Guns back on top. Cool. I'm going to watch that pay-per-view tomorrow probably. I'll give you my thoughts next Wednesday. But what is my point with that? The same nonsense that people wrote online about Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander beats Jade Cargill. Chris Statlander finished her story. All over the net today, Alex Shelley finished his story. And it's all knocks on what is going on with the Cody Rhodes situation. So if Cody, if Cody down the line beats Seth Rollins, I don't care how good Seth Rollins' reign would be up to that point. People will still say, oh, he won the secondary title, a created title. You know, he never got his revenge on Roman Reigns, never got the rematch. You know, well, not entitled to a rematch, but, you know, if you remember right after WrestleMania, you know. And remember, the conspiracy, you know, this is something I said yesterday, too. And if you want, go check out the Q&A. It was very good. And I thank everybody for sending in questions. But, you know, understand, at some point, Cody Rhodes and him finishing the story is going to turn into a dramatical storyline. There's going to be a lot of drama. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns. Right now, you have people out there, oh, why did Brock Lesnar attack him? But I still don't understand. Why didn't Brock Lesnar attack him? I wish. We already talked about the conspiracy against Cody Rhodes. We're going to have to wait until that starts developing on TV. But if there wasn't going to be a conspiracy storyline, I would love it. I would pay just to have Brock Lesnar go on TV and somebody says to him, you know, why did you originally attack Cody Rhodes? Because I felt like it. Would you like question it? No. But Cody Rhodes, if he does not beat Roman Reigns, it will be looked at as a colossal failure. No matter how high he goes, it's going to be looked at as a colossal failure. So the point I'm getting at is that Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40 is probably going to be the scenario, because we're already in the month of June and we're already half a year almost done. The end of the year is going to be here like this. So now you see the milking every little thing. Jey Uso doesn't make his decision early on for some reason because he's got the title shot against Austin Theory. He couldn't just say, I'm with my brother. You know, it's no, it's like, oh, let's do this. And then Jimmy inadvertently kicks him. And then Jey walks off. Now, in storyline, Jey at that particular time is not sure why things happened the way it did. But a week later, our intelligence is going to be insulted as a result of it. So you see how slow they are turning these corners. We're going to go into summer. We're going to go into fall. And the bloodline and the Usos saga is going to continue. The summer saga continues. That's what this is with the bloodline, the summer saga. So we're going to go into the fall with this shit. And then just imagine, and this is why I'm complaining about this. You see the snail pace that they are taking. And you go back and you think about Drew McIntyre. You go back and you think about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and how they milked that for an extra 6 weeks. 6 weeks is a long time. And now they're milking this even slower. Why? Because they're getting almost 3 million viewers on SmackDown. Even 2.6, 2.7 million viewers on SmackDown. So they tease it, make you think that something monumental is going to happen, and it doesn't. So now next week, Roman Reigns shows up. Roman, tribal chief, gets the views. So everybody's going to tune in to see what Roman has to say about it. And then the week after, if Roman is not there, then they will tease something major. And then that ends up being a letdown. And it's this tease over and over again. So the snail pace that they're going, this shit ain't going to be done until the fall at minimum. And then imagine how many weeks they're going to just burn through before we finally get clarity as far as why Cody Rhodes, you know, was forced to, you know, not, you know, the chase was diverted. You have this person getting involved with him and this person attacking him. Now Dominic Mysterio shows up and this is Sinet. And you go back and it's all handshakes that Paul Heyman did. He did it with the Judgment Day. You know, we don't know yet about Brock Lesnar, but I think that'll get exposed later on. So as much as the segments yesterday were good, I want to make that clear. Jey Uso was fire yesterday. Paul Heyman was great. Solo Sikoa did a good job. Jimmy Uso, you know, maybe a little bit too slow with the kick, which I'll show you in a few moments when we get into the full recap. But, you know, at the end of the day, though, this is too fucking slow, man. I mean, what I did for the recap for today was I took all of the Uso stuff from yesterday and I put it all together. And when you go from the beginning to the end, you say to yourself, wow, this is a lot of segments just to get to a kick to the face and nothing was addressed. You start taking this and putting it in a book. You know, it's like, you know how some writers used to get paid by the word and they'll write a 400-page book? This is turning into a 400-page book that should only be 200 pages. And just because the writing is good and everybody is acting it out, you know, to me, this is too fucking slow, man. That's just my honest opinion. I don't know how you all feel about it, but that's just my honest opinion. All right, before we get into that, let's talk about something else. And this is a big deal, obviously. Yesterday on SmackDown, and I like this because we have had a conversation the last 2 weeks about the NXT Women's Division. It's strange, even before WrestleMania weekend, even before Stand and Deliver, you had this aura about the NXT Women's Division. And Roxanne Perez was champion, and you had all these contenders, and she has the match with Michael Satomura, and then they do that Shawn Michaels storyline where she collapses, she gives up the title, everything's in disarray, tournament to determine who's going to be in a ladder match at Stand and Deliver, and then she ends up being in a match after all at Stand and Deliver, and then they give it to, you know, Indy Hartwell, who we all love, but it's kind of the equivalent of Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental Championship not too long ago at WrestleMania, and then Indy Hartwell gets drafted to the main roster, and then she gets injured, and then they got to do another tournament, and then they give it to Tiffany Stratton, who, you know, is developed really, really nicely, and then she wins it. And then you say to yourself last week, who's going to feud with her? Like, does anybody really come to mind? No. And then we get Tiffy Time, which kind of bombed. And then we do a battle royal the following week. And it's the ultimate underdog in NXT, Thea Hale, who has no shot becoming the women's champion. And even if she did, she's going to be the focal point of the NXT women's division. It seems like ever since they fired Mandy Rose, the NXT women's division is all fucked up. They split up Toxic Attraction. Now I'm convinced that the reason why Toxic Attraction was split up was because they had intentions on stopping the tag team division in NXT. It was Toxic Attraction and everybody else. You know, they had Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, which could have been a nice tag team for an extended period of time, and no, they squashed that almost immediately. You look on TV, Fallon Henley and Kiana James, they were okay, but, you know, even when they won the tag titles, you're like, you know, this, I don't know. Are they ready for that to be the focal point? That's a pretty big drop to go from what Toxic Attraction was doing to that. And here's the most important part. Over the last 3 months, does it feel like NXT has even bothered to develop the women's tag team division? No, we had Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn taking on Kayden Carter and Katana Chance. And they're both on the main roster now, both teams. They have done nothing with the NXT women's tag team division. Kill it. It seems like they're starting new championships and changes and lineages, even though the lineage is still continuing. And I think a lot of this is with the Endeavor deal. I'm not saying an Endeavor is telling WWE to do this stuff, but I think this new era is kind of reflecting what is going to be coming in the near future. So yesterday, we have Isla Dawn and Alba Fyre. They come out there, and they're going to be interviewed by Kayla Braxton. Next thing you know, you see Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler come out. And they have a little bit of a confrontation, and Shayna says that they are the reason why those tag team, or she is the reason why those NXT Women's Tag Team Championships were ever created. Shayna Baszler, you know, technically those titles are hers. Ronda has been crunching the numbers, and she realizes that this division isn't big enough for the four of us. I mean, talk about, like, just, this is the opposite of the Bloodline stuff. Instead of maybe having some confrontation, maybe just a tag match with no titles on the line, and have Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn actually put up a crazy-ass fight against Ronda and Shayna, and then you're like, wow, they actually went toe-to-toe with the, you know, WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. And then you have something else happen, and maybe, and then a month from now, you're like, you know what? This is not big enough for the four of us. So you know what? Let's unify the tag team championships. No, we can't milk a month. We have to do it all in 5 minutes. So now, in 2 weeks, right before Money in the Bank, we are going to have the women's tag team championship unification match. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, puts up the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn, who put up their NXT. And then guess what? Are we going to get undisputed Women's Tag Team Champions? Kind of, you know, listen, get used to the term undisputed. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it's funny because I don't tweet this stuff, so I don't get credit for it. Maybe I got to start tweeting everything that I say here, so then I could just retweet it when shit happens, and then I could look like a fucking genius. You know, unless you tune into the shows, you don't know. And I'm not going to start doing that. If people don't know, that's their loss. But so this is what we get in the next 2 weeks. Unification match. I like it because NXT has done guts with the women's tag team division in quite some time. And now, like I said, I'm convinced Toxic Attraction, instead of bringing Toxic Attraction to the main roster, I guess they felt that they would be better used as singular wrestlers in NXT. And that's what happens. in 2 weeks. So I know Money in the Bank is technically, you know, an extra week and a half after that, but still. Why not do that in Money in the Bank? I mean, I know you can't have that many matches at Money in the Bank. That'd be a nice little deal, especially, you know, nice little rub for, unless they're just concerned that the match is not going to be all that good. I mean, Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn, you know, put the fists to Ronda and Shayna yesterday and knocked Ronda and Shayna out of the ring, knocked them for a loop. That wasn't a match, though. So unless, I just thought about it. Oh, my head's starting to hurt. What if in 2 weeks it ends up in a no contest and they fucking milk it anyway for Money in the Bank? That could happen. I could very well happen. So that match happens in 2 weeks. Let's talk about Asuka and the Women's World Championship. Actually, you know what? I want to show you something. Well, you know what? Let me show you the title first, and I want to show you something from WWE's website. So yesterday, Asuka is out there, and Adam Pearce announces. Now, by the way, earlier in the day on Twitter, WWE, very, very explicit wording that there was going to be a WWE World Championship celebrations, you know, Women's Championship celebration, and they were presenting Asuka with a new title. But the way they worded it, you know, it seemed like it was going to be something brand new. And again, we talked about that Undisputed term, you know, being used quite a bit on SmackDown. Now you understand, you know, a couple of weeks ago, when Roman Reigns, they were going to give him the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. You know, people were trying to convince you that, oh, that's a knock on, how could it be undisputed if Seth Rollins is World Heavyweight Champion? Well, these dumb morons didn't go on Webster or any dictionary website and look up the definition of undisputed. Undisputed means there is no dispute. Roman Reigns, there is no dispute. He is the WWE Universal Champion. I mean, it has nothing to do with SmackDown. I mean, with Raw. It has nothing to do with that. So now Asuka is presented with this new belt yesterday. And I like the look. All right. Charlotte Flair kind of fucked up something yesterday, which I'll show you in a moment. But, you know, the design is nice. I mean, it's similar to the belts before. But now it's the Women's Undisputed Champion. So she has this belt. And the next thing you know, Charlotte Flair comes out. And we all expected Charlotte Flair to end up feuding with Asuka. And Charlotte Flair, she's out there and she's cutting promos. And she says, I don't wait in line. I am the line. And she demands a championship shot at Asuka's title. But the funny thing about it is, now, Asuka gave Adam Pearce the Raw Women's Championship. So if you look at this photo, Adam Pearce has the Raw Women's Championship on that pedestal. Asuka has the new Undisputed Women's Championship around her waist. So when Charlotte, I don't know if any of you picked up on this yesterday, when Charlotte demanded that she gets the title shot, she says this. Pay attention. Watch a finger.
I know what you can do.
Watch.
But I want that championship.
She points to the wrong belt. She pointed to the fucking Raw Women's Championship. Now, honestly, if we want to be wise asses, Asuka should have just said, go ahead. Take it. It's yours. You take belt. I'm fine. Oh, but go take it. Charlotte pointed to the wrong belt. And so now we're going to get, in 3 weeks, right before the go-home show to Money in the Bank, Asuka will defend the Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. Now, I see this absolutely leading to some clusterfuck with Bianca Belair. Here's the problem Actually, you know what? I just realized it. Wait a second. Money in the Bank. My friends, is Money in the Bank July 1st or July 8th? I think it's July. Wait, it's July 1st. Just someone in the chat room double check the date for me. July 1st. Thank you, Rams fan. Okay. I just figured something out. I saw a lot of people online yesterday saying that Bianca Belair is going to interfere in that match, and that's going to lead to a three-way at Money in the Bank. Now I just realized that can't happen because this match is a day before Money in the Bank. And unless the match doesn't even start, but at the same time, you're not going to advertise a week or two in advance. No contract signings, no nothing. So I think it probably will still end up with a clusterfuck. But that's right before Money in the Bank. So does this end up leading into SummerSlam with Asuka versus Charlotte versus Bianca Belair? I think that is very much possible. Now, yesterday, Bianca Belair was pissed the fuck off about this because before Asuka came out, Bianca Belair was in the back with Adam Pearce, and she's mad that she wants her opportunity. She wants Asuka, and Adam Pearce says, not tonight. With tonight's a celebration, giving her a championship, blah, 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 blah. If you want your title opportunity, we will take care of that, but you cannot interfere tonight, so Bianca doesn't interfere. So after we get all this with Charlotte Flair and Asuka, and they announce in 3 weeks that the women's championship, the undisputed championship, we got to get used to that, is on the line, Bianca Belair is in the back scene with Adam Pearce again, and basically Bianca Belair is like, the fuck? You just gave her a title shot. So Adam Pearce is like, we'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. So, yeah. So this is going to milk. This is going to, you know, we're going to see the scenic route for this as well. I mean, look, we all knew that Charlotte Flair was getting put back in the mix. As soon as they announced Io Sky and the Money in the Bank, you know, and Bayley and, you know, in a match as well, you know, you're not going to have Io Sky immediately feud with Asuka. That's going to be down the line. So who does it in the meantime? Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair. I think there's a lot of people concerned that Charlotte Flair could very well end up winning this women's championship. I think if Charlotte Flair wins this women's championship, I think it would turn shit upside down. Because Asuka is a heel right now, technically. Charlotte Flair is better suited as a heel. People think that Bianca Belair is turning heel. I don't see it. I see that little bit of NXT attitude coming back, but that doesn't mean that she's going to turn heel as a result. And then you're going to have all three women, you know, questionable attitudes. Nah. I mean, look, Money in the Bank's going to be awesome. But, you know, it's interesting how they strategically placed the women's championship, undisputed championship, 3 weeks from now, and 2 weeks from now, the women's tag team unification match. So that's the focal point for the next 2 weeks. So that went down yesterday. Now, I want to go on WWE's website. I want to show you live, okay? Let me switch over here. I want to show you this, because it's definitely something we got to start talking about. Believe me, nobody's talking about this, but we are. WWE's going to have a problem. And yeah, what I'm about to say might confuse you a little bit. Just follow with me on this. We talked about it earlier this week, I think on Patreon. But just go with me on this. All right, we all know now Roman Reigns going forward is going to be coming out with only one belt. If you want some proof of it, here you go. Hold on. There you go. That is the official thumbnail for next Friday SmackDown, as you see, Roman Reigns with only one belt in hand. Paul Heyman could still come out holding the other two belts. I don't believe that will happen. You know, Asuka handed her Raw Women's Championship to Adam Pearce. So Roman Reigns is going to come out with only one belt going forward. Now, why is this important? And why does this kind of make things even more confusing? And why it may even be confusing when it comes to Asuka. All right. Right now on the screen, and anybody that's on audio only, you don't have to go check out video. Just listen to what I'm going to explain. Roman Reigns right now has one championship, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. It's one belt. I'm on WWE's website right now, and I want to thank Aaron, who's one of our patrons, who actually brought this to my attention. If you look at the Universal Championship, look at the lineage, 2016 to the present. Now, you look at the WWE Championship, so these technically were the Raw and SmackDown titles. It says lineage 1963 to the present. Okay, present just means today. It doesn't mean that the lineage is continuing with Roman Reigns holding a new singular championship. Nope, that's actually not the case. Look at this. The WWE Universal Championship. See over here, 1,013 days. They are still continuing this lineage. Even though Roman is now holding a singular title, they're continuing this lineage. Now, we all knew they were going to continue this lineage because that's where the 1,000-day merchandise comes from. So you're not going to stop that lineage for no reason when you just passed the 1,000 days. So now you think, okay, if they're going to continue the Universal Championship lineage, well then, how could they continue the WWE Championship lineage if Roman has a singular title? Look, they are still continuing the lineage for the WWE Championship as well. So Roman Reigns right now holding one title, yet two lineages are still continuing. My friends, I ask you this, and it might sound like a really stupid, simple question, but it's definitely something you got to think about. What happens when Cody Rhodes beats Roman Reigns? How does Cody Rhodes now get two lineages from one championship? Does Cody go back to two belts and say that I'm a fighting champion and I have two lineages? How do you even reintroduce two lineages? Are we going to just continue two lineages from now on? So right now we have three heavyweight championship lineages still continuing. All right, we have the WWE Championship, we have the World Heavyweight Championship, and we have the Universal Championship. Now, I want to show you something else that's pretty funny. Okay, see, we got three championship lineages. Now, if you look, check this out. If you look at the WWE Championship, okay, Seth Rollins' title is the World Heavyweight Championship. Well, I can't zoom in over here. But if you zoom in closely to this, it actually says World Heavyweight Champion. This is World Heavyweight Champion. They have two titles right now that say World Heavyweight Champion. So it just goes to show you, even though Roman is walking around with one singular belt, they still have not addressed the fact that Seth has a reign and Roman has two lineages going under one belt. Now, let's go. This is interesting, too. Let's go to Asuka's title. Okay? Look at this. It is no longer the Raw Women's Championship. They have it as the WWE Women's Championship. Now, hold on a second. Didn't Asuka's title yesterday say Undisputed Champion? Now, maybe they didn't just update this title as of yet, but why is this lineage still continuing? Yes, they actually added an extra day yesterday. They probably have a counter on their website, but why are they still showing this? So now let's go a little further. Look at Rhea Ripley's belt. Rhea Ripley's belt is still considered the SmackDown Women's Championship. So they've already changed the wording of Asuka's to the WWE Women's Championship, even though it's the Undisputed Championship. And yes, it's still showing the red belt, not the white belt. WWE really, even though they presented her with a new championship yesterday, they haven't fucking fixed anything. Did I confuse all of you? Your heads want to explode right now? They haven't fixed anything. So, this is a fucking mess. What are they going to do with Rhea Ripley's on Raw? I am starting to think, down the line, we may see a unification with Rhea Ripley versus Asuka. or whoever is the champion on SmackDown, I think we may end up with one women's champion as well. I really think that they may be going that route, because when you see this, it doesn't make sense. You have Asuka as the undisputed champion. I'll say this and we'll move on. Think of it like this. They just reworded Asuka's title as the WWE Women's Champion, even though it's undisputed. When you check the lineage, though, it's still the lineage of the Raw Women's Championship. So Asuka continues the lineage of the Raw Women's Championship, even though the title was renamed. Wouldn't it just been easier to just swap the fucking titles? Instead, you change the name, you change the look, which I like the look, but you change the name, and you continue in the lineage for the opposite brand. It's a fucking mess. It's a mess. It shouldn't be this mess, but it is. It is. So, that is what's going on with Asuka and Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair. So, in 3 weeks, they will have their match. Obviously, it will probably end with some clusterfuck disarray. And we go from there. Now, we got more confusion. Now you understand why, as entertaining as SmackDown was yesterday, there's a lot of aspects of it that I did not like. Yesterday, we had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens appear. And as we expected, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, they had a little bit of a conversation. Jey, think with your heart, blah, 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 choose your brother. Obviously, Jey didn't make the choice. He had a whole week to do it, didn't make the choice. So later on, we actually see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a locker room with a bunch of tag teams. And we talked about it on Monday's Raw recap, that this new attitude with Kevin Owens is that he just complains about everything. And not only does he complain about everything, he's talking like in double speed, two times the speed. And it happened again yesterday. All the tag teams want a title shot. They all want a title shot. And this basically is what's going on. Now, I'm purposely not putting the audio. I'm purposely not putting the audio. Just look at Kevin Owens. Just look at it. Look. He pissed the fuck off. Take a chill. Take some CBD. Smoke some Babanya. You know, relax. You don't have to take the X pills, but, oh. So, this forced anger and uproar. And what does this lead? Next week, we have a 5-way tag team match. The LWO versus Pretty Deadly versus the Street Profits versus the Brawling Brutes versus the OC. And the winner of that match gets a tag team title shot. Now, the question is, will it be only for the SmackDown tag titles? You know, I don't think they addressed that yesterday. They just said a tag team championship opportunity. Sooner or later, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to have to lose those SmackDown tag titles. Unless WWE gives them two new belts and they are the undisputed WWE tag team champions. Yes, I know that technically is the term that the Usos had, but they're still holding a red belt and a blue belt. Roman no longer has a red belt and a blue belt. Or Asuka no longer has a red belt. Rhea Ripley is about to no longer have a blue belt. So they obviously have to address Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And when it comes to the draft, I know the draft is not being strictly enforced, but they are Raw wrestlers. So if they're going to drop any championship, it's going to be the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. If they drop the Raw titles and kept the SmackDown titles, well, that's going to be ass backwards because they're Raw wrestlers. Unless you're going to put them on SmackDown, which I don't think anybody wants. Like I said, you know, things are great, you know, and it's entertaining, but when you stop and you start dissecting this stuff, it's like, why aren't they fixing this? I don't know. It's this writing I don't know. I just, So anyway, let's fill in the blanks from this past SmackDown. Let's talk about the stuff with the Usos all together in order. Yesterday on SmackDown, Paul Heyman opens up the show with Solo Sikoa. He brings Jey Uso out to the ring. The fans are chanting Uso. Jey Uso tells Solo Sikoa that he let a lot of things slide, but stabbing his big brother in the back is something that you just don't do. He doesn't know if he could forgive Solo Sikoa for that. And he throws the microphone at Solo Sikoa, wants to know what he has to say. Instead, Paul Heyman gets on the mic, and Paul Heyman says, No, Jay, you got it all wrong. It's not Solo's fault. It's not my fault. It's not Roman's fault. It's not your fault. It is all Jimmy's fault. Jimmy made up his own mind. He kicked Roman without you knowing, without you being asked about it. Jimmy pulled the trigger because Jimmy does not respect Jey Uso. Jimmy knows that it was never going to be him to be the next tribal chief. And since day one, Jimmy Uso has resented Jay. And he will prove it. Tonight, at Roman Reigns' request, they started the trajectory to put Jey Uso as the next tribal chief. Jey Uso gets a championship opportunity against Austin Theory for the United States Championship. And his path to becoming the heavyweight champion starts tonight when he takes on Austin Theory. But he has to give his answer now. Paul Heyman gives the microphone back to Jay. Jay says he will take up the challenge for the United States title and take on Austin Theory. Paul Heyman sticks out his hand to shake Jey Uso's hand. Jey Uso hesitates. He looks at Paul Heyman, looks at Solo Sikoa. The crowd is chanting, no, no, no. And he leans on the ropes, very, very confused. Don't know why it's such a hard decision. Jay says he'll get back to him about the handshake and leaves the ring. Later on in the show, Jey Uso bumps into his old pal, Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn says the time that they had together, some of the best time of his whole career, his whole life, he knows deep down inside, it's the same for Jey Uso, and in a different world, it would have continued. But it couldn't because of the tribal chief and the tribal chief's selfishness. But Sammy admits that he also put his family first, just like Jey did. But it was never enough. Loyalty was tested. And he knows that Jey Uso has a big decision to make. He hopes that he wins the United States Championship, but Jey needs to go with his heart, not what's being said in his ear. Jay looks at him, says nothing, and walks away. Then a little bit later on, we had a funny segment in the back. Jey Uso is with Paul Heyman. And, you know, Jey Uso looks a little excited about getting the opportunity to become United States champion. Paul Heyman tells Jey Uso he needs your passport. And Jay's like, why? And he's like, yeah, we got to hook you up. You're going to go to Money in the Bank. We got to get your suit measured. We got to do this. We got to have a big triple celebration. Roman will be at Money in the Bank. The United States champion will be there. A public acknowledgement that Jey Uso will be the next tribal chief. And Jey Uso is smiling. And Paul Heyman's like, what? And Jay basically says to Paul Heyman, there's a problem. If I'm in the bloodline, that means you're not in the bloodline. So Paul Heyman is a little confused, but Jey Uso kind of revealing his card a little bit that, no, he doesn't want Paul Heyman in the bloodline. So later on, Caleb Braxton is with Austin Theory in the back. Austin Theory's a little pissed off. He was the last to be told that he was having a United States Championship match against Jey Uso. And he says, you know, he doesn't have time to make excuses. He has to prepare. And he will return Jey Uso to the Bloodline as a loser, as the loser that they are. And next week, Paul Heyman could see Austin Theory live instead. So now we get the main event for SmackDown. We'll get into the Money in the Bank matches. I have a few things to say there. Not everything was bad, so I want to make that clear. A little confusing at times, but not bad. Austin Theory versus Jey Uso. Fans are solidly behind Jey Uso. And, you know, early on, Jey Uso getting the upper hand, you know, taking it to the outside, throwing Austin Theory over the announcer's table. Later on in the match, Jey Uso hits Austin Theory with a super kick. Unfortunately, Austin Theory lands on the referee. Referee's knocked out. Oh, shit. Here it comes. So, Jey climbs the top rope, hits Austin Theory with the Uso splash, goes for the cover. We have no referee. Pretty Deadly show up. And just when they're about to start attacking Jey Uso, out comes Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso lands a couple of super kicks on Pretty Deadly. Listen, I love the fact that they have Pretty Deadly already in the mix. Brawling Brutes, Bloodline, they have fit in beautifully. Grayson Waller, not so much. I know, they're taking their time, milking it. Cameron Grimes, not so much. Cameron Grimes, let me put it this way. Cameron Grimes' entire SmackDown wrestling career so far, I have taken longer leaks than how long he's been in that ring. But anyway, Jimmy Uso hits him with a couple of super kicks, and here comes Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa runs down to the ring and attacks Jimmy Uso. Now, I'll show you a couple of quick little clips as far as what went down. Solo Sikoa hits the ring and wails. There you go. He wails on Jimmy Uso. Knocks him on his ass. Then he goes and picks up Jimmy Uso and is about to hit him with the spike. And here comes Jey to stop him. Holds him. And Solo Sikoa is like, the fuck you doing? So Solo Sikoa then pushes Jey Uso into the ropes. And when Solo Sikoa turns around, Jimmy Uso is about to give him a super kick. But if you watch this closely, maybe a little bit flubbed, because there is a quick hesitation. Solo moves out of the way, and Jimmy didn't even start his kick yet. He still kicks Jey Uso. See for yourself. Watch. Oh, there you go. Solo Sikoa was already moved away. And Jimmy Uso super kicks Jey Uso anyway. So then what happens is Austin Theory, you know, capitalizes on it and defeats Jey Uso. So he retains the title. After the match is over, Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso having a little bit of an issue in the ring. Jey Uso is like, man, what the fuck you do that shit for? And Jimmy Uso, I guess, was so baffled and concerned, he forgot to talk. To say it bluntly, he forgot the English language. He forgot how to talk Samoan. Why didn't you just say, I was kicking Solo? And they're having a little bit of an argument. Jey Uso leaves the ring. Jey Uso has a little bit of a stare down with Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa. And there you see Jimmy Uso's like, what have I done? What have I done? And we go off the air. You know, like I said, the segments were well done. But at the end of the day, this is starting to go to a snail's pace. And it's ridiculous. Roman Reigns. Oh, you see Jey? You can picture next Friday. See Jey? You can't trust your brother and this, this, and that. And then it's going to lead. Because we're still 3 weeks away to Money in the Bank. So this shit's got to be milked for at least another week or two. So that's what happened on SmackDown yesterday with the Usos. Now, the Money in the Bank ladder matches. Now, on the women's side, there very well could still be a last chance, a second opportunity. On the men's side, we pretty much have the entire Money in the Bank ladder match set. I'll explain why in a moment. But the Money in the Bank ladder match results from yesterday. Santos Escobar, with Rey Mysterio in his corner, defeated Mustafa Ali. Beat him with the Phantom Driver off the top, the middle rope. LA Knight came out there on commentary. Very, very entertaining. But in the end, Santos Escobar qualifies. You know, with Mustafa Ali doing stuff on NXT right now, we pretty much had a feeling that there's no way he nor Baron Corbin were going to qualify for Money in the Bank. Very, very predictable match lineup so far on both sides, women's and the men's. Bayley with Io Sky defeats Meechan, Mia Yim, with AJ Styles in her corner. Bayley beats her with the rose plant. And after the match is over, to get the attention off of Io Sky and Bayley and Mia Yim, AJ Styles is greeted by Scarlett. And Scarlett blows the red powder in his face, blinds him. Karrion Kross locks in the cross jacket. And, you know, again, very, very well done. It's about time they start. And they got to keep doing it. They have to on a consistent basis. Now, do I want to see Scarlett in the ring? Do I want to see Scarlett go up against Mia Yim? I'm not so sure about that. But Scarlett has to be, every week, a viable threat at ringside to get involved, do something nasty. You know, just too much sedentary. You know, too much, not, you know, just at ringside, like I said earlier, looking like eye candy or a potted plant. Get her active a little bit more. Baron Corbin loses his Money in the Bank qualifier to Butch, Pete Dunne. Early on in the match, right before the match, we see Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. They're ringside. They want to check out the match. Baron Corbin gets in their face, kind of brags a little bit, and he says that he will advance the Money in the Bank. We end up towards the latter part in the match, Baron Corbin doing a little bit of trash talking at ringside at Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams. He thinks he's got the match in the bag. Unfortunately, Corbin took a little bit too long. He went for a choke slam, and Butch rolls his ass up. After the match is over, Corbin gets into it with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams at ringside. A little cheap shot to Trick Williams, brawls with Carmelo Hayes. And then we go to commercial. When we come back, the Brawling Brutes, they're all celebrating backstage, and Corbin shows up, and he says, "It wasn't fair what happened out there." And then he's attacked by Cameron Grimes. Not for nothing. They are doing a terrible job with Cameron Grimes so far. I don't know where this leads. Is Cameron Grimes going to show up in NXT again, you know, to get involved in the Carmelo Hayes-Baron Corbin match down the line? What's the purpose of this? Plus, Baron Corbin is not a SmackDown guy. He's a free agent. So it's a little bit of a mess. But the last Money in the Bank qualifying match yesterday was Io Sky beating Shotzi. And this was interesting because Bayley and Io Sky pretty much on the same terms. You know, no issues last night. Bayley distracts Shotzi more than once. Io Sky takes advantage, attacks her. And towards the end of the match, Io Sky distracts the referee. This allows Bayley to pull Shotzi and push her into the corner, neck first into one of the turnbuckles. And then Io Sky hits a moonsault and she advances. So even though they were on pretty much the same page, it's going to be every woman for themselves in a Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And obviously that'll be where the beginning of the end of Io Sky and Bayley as a cohesive unit will happen. So so now, as of right now, we have one slot open on the men's side, one slot open on the women's side. We have a match announced for Monday's Raw Money in the Bank qualifier on the men's side. So there will not be a second chance opportunity on the men's side. It is going to be, yes, they kind of like gave it away a couple of weeks ago. Let's see if WWE as a result, decides to change their minds. But as of right now, Matt Riddle is supposed to be in Money in the Bank. He will be taking on Damian Priest for a shot at Money in the Bank. Now, Montez Ford, we thought that they could end up being a second chance match, and Montez Ford could have ended up in Money in the Bank anyway. But remember, now with this match happening, you start wondering if the Street Profits may end up getting that opportunity. You know, we actually talked about it last week. Could Pretty Deadly be the ones to dethrone Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Remember what we said? Would they dare have Pretty Deadly be the one to end their SmackDown reign? I'm not so sure. But now I'm starting to wonder if the Street Profits may end up getting this tag team win next Friday, because you feel like the Street Profits have to do something at Money in the Bank. So this Monday on Raw, we have Riddle taking on Matt Riddle taking on Damian Priest for the Money in the Bank qualifier. And then we got this, in case anybody is interested. We have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens taking on Ludwig Kaiser and Gunther. Now, no tag team titles are on the line. I think in the end, we may see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, one of them end up getting pinned. Would they dare have Ludwig Kaiser get pinned again? I'm not that sure, because we're supposed to forget about the night after WrestleMania when Imperium lost to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and they want to have that match at Money in the Bank. So on Monday's Raw, we could very well end up seeing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn pinned. But at the same time, though, you have Gunther in the match. Doesn't this kind of remind you of what just happened at the last Premium Live event, Night of Champions? Instead of Roman Reigns, who had a championship, and Solo Sikoa, now you have Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. It's almost like the same template. Just instead of Roman, you have Gunther. So that is going to be on Monday. And then we have on Monday also, broken arm and all, everyone. Remember, it's the Iron Mike Sharp. You know, why is he doing moves if he's got a broken arm? They never told us how bad the break is. Cody Rhodes will be taking on The Miz on Monday. So that is what we have to look forward to. Rampage yesterday, the Lucha Bros and Bandido beat Ethan Page, Lee Moriarty, and Big Bill. Powerhouse Hobbs over Caleb Crush. The Acclaimed to Billy Gunn over the Spanish Announce Project. Sky Blue. I know Sky Blue has a bright future, but she beat Britt Baker, Mercedes Martinez, and Nyla Rose. So Sky Blue gets a women's championship opportunity this Wednesday on Dynamite against Toni Storm. Very predictable outcomes, not only on Friday, but on Wednesday as well. They also announced yesterday on Rampage, we have a match coming up. I think it's going to be Satnam Singh, Jeff Jarrett, and Jay Lethal versus Mark Briscoe. It's going to be Karen Jarrett, Jeff Jarrett, and I think Jay Lethal versus Mark Briscoe. Yeah, Karen Jarrett, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Mark Briscoe, Aubrey Edwards, and Mark Briscoe's father. I don't know. I mean, I expect a hell of a lot of comedy, but hey, you know, it is what it is. Also, two things I wanted to tell you very quickly about AEW. I think this is important for my international friends out there. I would have saved it to Monday, but Monday we really don't talk AEW. A lot of you were wondering if Collision was going to air overseas. Now, the reports came out yesterday that Collision will be airing in Canada on TSN Plus. It is not airing on regular television as of now. So if you want to see AEW Collision, it will be on TSN Plus. As far as the United Kingdom, this gets a little more complicated. It will air on ITV4. That's regular television, but it doesn't air until Wednesdays. It'll start Wednesday, June 21st at 9 p.m., and Collision will air every Wednesday afterwards. So you will not get Collision live in the UK. Now, this could change in the near future, but as of right now, that is the deal. So, you know, next Saturday we have Collision. I'm going to put up a poll tomorrow and let everybody, you know, well, actually, no, we can. I don't know if we should do a live stream Tuesday. Should we do a watch along next Tuesday? I don't know. I'll put up a couple of polls. You all vote. How do we want to handle the recap of Collision? Do we just talk about it on Sunday? Do we do a little Saturday night deal? We'll see. But, yeah, it's only 1 week away. I will tell you this. On next Wednesday's, well, this coming Wednesday's, Wednesday Night Dynamite, I definitely want to talk a little bit more about this. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to swerve anybody there. I don't want to confuse anybody. They have shown thumbnails featuring a bunch of wrestlers. But for the most part, and I think AEW is making a big mistake right now, if you follow all of their advertisements for ticket sales, upcoming Collision events, you see 90% of the time, this is what you see. You see CM Punk. You see CM Punk. You see CM Punk. I mean, for every 10 banners of CM Punk, they'll show you one with a full roster. And I think that is a huge mistake. That elite media and people within AEW spent a year diminishing this guy's value in AEW. And because this is Tony Khan and his love for CM Punk, he is putting CM Punk as the focal point, the center of attention on Collision. It's a two-hour show. CM Punk is only going to be on for 15 minutes on average, give or take a little bit. And almost every banner, CM Punk. Make Thunder Rosa. Make it feel. Remember when CM Punk had, I think, like a 13-minute championship celebration in the ring, got the cut a promo, whatever. Oh, no, it might have been when he relinquished the title. I don't remember which one it was, but then Thunder Rosa only got like 90 seconds. You know, and I remember there was a big controversy at that time. You know, start making fans feel like, you know, the House of Black. You know, they're not jabronis. Push this thumbnails about the House of Black. Miro, Andrade, you know, anybody else. FTR. Thunder Rosa, the women's division has got to be more than Thunder Rosa. You know, they're almost every banner, CM Punk is going to be this much of the entire two-hour show. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday, but that is a problem. That is a big problem, you know, and I think they're shooting themselves in the foot with that, so. But next Saturday's Collision, it is happening a lot sooner than we realize. So, so that's pretty much it. And I want to thank everybody for joining me. We still, you know, I got a super shout out I want to do right now and also a couple of plugs. Yesterday, I uploaded Thursday's Q&A. So definitely check that out. There was some great comments on there. And ironically, the day after we recorded that, it was announced that Young Rock was being dropped. Young Rock is history. And just take note of a lot of media that is very pro-AEW who is very, very silent about it. Because the Rock show being canceled was because of ratings. The ratings were not all that bad. But, you know, we talked about this indirectly Thursday on the Q&A. We didn't know that it was canceled yet, but, you know, if you paid attention to those upfronts in New York City, you know, yeah, NBC Universal did not mention WWE. That didn't mean that there was a problem. It just meant that they haven't finalized a new TV deal yet. When Warner Media never talked about the billion-dollar deal, whatever happened to that, guys? Talk about an epic fail in the media world. 5 years, $1.2 billion, blah, blah, blah. And for the 2 weeks leading up to that, I honestly think we were the only show that said the media upfronts do not handle shows like that. It's not like they're signing a basketball player. we've inked a deal that Collision and Dynamite will stay on for the next 5 years at $450 million. They never even bothered to look. They're negotiating. They are absolutely negotiating right now, and I think a deal will be made very soon. But they didn't mention anything at the upfronts because no deal was made. That's not a negative. But if you paid attention to the entertainment world, and I brought this up on Thursday, there are websites that will show a running list of shows that were not mentioned for their full schedules. And one of the shows was Young Rock. Young Rock, when that upfront was announcing their full schedule, Young Rock was not on it. And nobody in the wrestling world took note of it because they didn't think, well, they didn't mention it. Could they possibly be canceled? Yeah, got canceled. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. Maybe we'll talk about that on Monday. I want to get some specifics, and we'll talk about that. I'll be honest with you, I never really got into the Young Rock stuff. I mean, it's not necessarily how they screwed up the history, you know, and just changed things and didn't have the... I mean, that show to me was really not intended for wrestling fans. I think it was intended more for just a general audience. But if you were a fan of The Rock or if you're a fan of pro wrestling, you just want a little lighthearted giggles with it, you tune into it. But as far as really trying to... You know, if you thought that The Rock was just recreating history and we're just seeing it through the lens of a very, very young Dwayne Johnson, we weren't getting that. I just didn't like it. I thought some of the actors that portrayed the wrestlers did a good job. Some of them looked absolutely ridiculous, but I don't think that was the issue. I just think in the end, you know, I put it this way, and I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but if you just imagine, even if you weren't alive at the time, just imagine in the 80s, you're Dwayne Johnson, you're a preteen, a teenager, and you're growing up in a wrestling family. You know, the fact is that more often than not, Rocky Johnson was touring all over the United States, sometimes beyond, and Dwayne Johnson was not there a lot of times. You know, we know wrestlers... unfortunately, wrestle 300 days a year, and they do not see their families all that often. And yes, there were times where Dwayne Johnson was there and got to see wrestlers and everything. But those meetings were few and far between. Those experiences, you would have thought that Dwayne Johnson overall would have traveled with Rocky Johnson up and down the globe. And it really... they tried to recreate and add, and it just got to a point where it just wasn't believable. So that is canceled. Want to give a special shout out to Chris Cutra. Thank you for the 20 spot, my friend. Much appreciated. He says, like Seth defending in NXT, it has an old school feel when the NWA champion would defend in a smaller territory against top contenders. It also helps establish the world title. He wants to see more WWE titles defended in NXT. Listen, for 2 years, we talked on this show, way back even when AJ Styles showed up for a brief time, Shinsuke Nakamura made an appearance, Edge, you know, I think Edge showed up for a second even though he was in the back. You know, giving a little rub for the stars of tomorrow is not a demotion. We said on our draft prediction show that Don, Tony, Kevin, by the way, Kevin and I are going to do another DTKC show this Tuesday. It'll air live on Patreon and we'll post it on DonTony.com afterwards. And then in 3 weeks or 2 weeks from this Tuesday, we're going to do predictions for Money in the Bank. So you got two shows coming up in the next three, four weeks. So we'll keep everybody informed. But... you know, when we did the prediction show, we were talking about Mustafa Ali going to NXT and feuding with Wesley. We talked about Baron Corbin. I joked and said, I want to see Baron Corbin drafted to NXT. You know, seeing some wrestlers that are not getting a major play right now, I want to see Ricochet, you know, have an extended period of time in NXT. It's not a demotion. You know, if you're not in the title hunt right now, and you're just thrown into random matches on the main product, you listen. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you know, you might go for one particular item, but when you have a whole dinner, you know, every little ingredient gives you a really good experience. But if you have like a wrestler like Ricochet or someone else that is just doing random matches and it feels like there's no direction and he's not getting pushed and he's not getting a title shot anytime soon, then why not have him go on NXT, elevate his worth? Dana Brooke. That was hilarious because a week or two ago we were saying Dana Brooke should go to NXT. And it was interesting to see the crowd reaction Tuesday for Dana Brooke. You know, I kind of felt bad for her, but you know what? I don't think her career will be revitalized like they did with Mandy Rose. But, you know, that's where you should be able to go. Get some work. Test something out. Reinvent. Tweak this. And see how it works. I think Baron Corbin has got to start coming out to the Lone Wolf music again. Hearing Baron Corbin's, you know, casino, happy, lucky Corbin shit on NXT, I was like, why? Why would you even do that? You know, if he's going to be more serious and have that, you know, like, why does goofy, uplifting music? So, you know, they got to tweak things a little bit. But Seth Rollins having a match against Bron Breakker in NXT is very, very cool. Don't know when it's going to happen. Don't know if they'll hold it until July, which would, you know, Great American Bash, I think, is like July 30th. That's a long ways away. I don't think they'll wait that long. But, yeah, Seth showing up there, why not? Even if Roman, I'm not saying they would, but even if they brought Roman Reigns there for a night, why is it such a negative? Why is it such a demotion? Why is it such, oh my God, they sent him to the minor leagues? You know, it's a treat. It's a little twist. You know, I don't know if Dana Brooke is going to be there for the long haul. It kind of felt more of like, hey, let's just, you know, test it out and see. But Seth Rollins, you know, having a match there, we know what the outcome is going to be. But that is a beautiful rub for Bron Breakker as well. And you do it amongst the NXT audience. Why? And I'll leave you with this. And no one is going to disagree with me on this. You see JD McDonagh. JD McDonagh, when he wrestled in NXT, up until the last week before he got drafted to Raw, JD McDonagh would get some awesome reactions from the NXT fans. They appreciated his work. They enjoyed what he did. He shows up on Raw, and it is utter silence. Zoe Stark, she played a heel in NXT, but she got a good reaction from those fans. She comes to the main roster, crickets. Why? Because the majority of the WWE universe does not watch NXT. They're not into these wrestlers. It's a brand new ball game. It's like someone, if you don't follow AAA minor league baseball, and then somebody gets called up, if you never watched or followed anything minor leagues and just heard about people, you don't see the person on an everyday basis. When they get called up, there might be a little excitement, but you're not used to the everyday routine. So with Bron Breakker, if they had Bron Breakker in the very near future take on Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship on Raw, Bron Breakker would probably get little to no reaction because Bron Breakker is not a mainstay on the main roster yet. When he had those couple of matches on the main roster, there was very little reaction, almost none. It doesn't mean that Bron Breakker did anything wrong. It didn't mean that he sucked. It's just that the majority of fans don't follow him. It's perceived that because NXT is part of WWE, you know, that it's bigger than what it actually is, but it's not. And when you hear Nick Khan say, oh, you know, we think NXT could be a viable, you know, promotion on its own, a viable brand on its own, that's just to inflate its worth to investors, advertisers, you know, the TV deals. You know, that's what Nick Khan's job is. Tony Khan's also, but that's what Nick Khan's job is, to make everything seem bigger than what it is. Can't take every little word that Nick Khan says, oh, we would be open to moving Raw to a different night. They're not moving Raw to a different night, but they're not going to strap themselves. Hey, if Amazon wants to give us $1 billion, yeah, we'll do the shows in reverse. We'll do it at 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever you want, boss. You know, you do that. You, hey, we're willing to have SmackDown go 3 hours. Hey, we would even consider having another. That's what Nick Khan's job. But people listen to every little word and dissect it like, what the fuck is he talking about? So Bron Breakker wrestling in front of the NXT audience will get a massive heel response. Bron Breakker wrestling on a Raw audience right now would get predominantly crickets. It's just two different audiences. It's two different vibes. That's why I love that Seth Rollins is going to go to NXT to have the match. And smart on WWE's part by having the wrestlers go to NXT, because they know that the opponents of those main roster stars already have a connection with those fans. So they don't have to worry about dead silence. Zoe Stark is going through that right now. Grayson Waller, even with his Grayson Waller effects. And by the way, and thank you again, Chris, for that super chat. Very, very kind of you. Okay. Let me show you for next Friday. Speaking of Grayson Waller, next Friday on Grayson Waller effect, it's going to be Charlotte Flair. Maybe we see a confrontation with Bianca about jumping the line. So that is what we have in store. But you see the NXT call-ups. Even Cameron Grimes. Remember when Cameron Grimes, I think it was a week ago, and he was talking to, I don't remember who was in the back with him, and he's doing his whole shtick, and he says, you know, I'm going to go to the moon. And nobody in the crowd did it with him. 2-3 months from now, I'm sure when he's about to say it, the fans are going to go to the moon. But right now, there's no connection there. That will develop in time. So anyway, I am going to jet out of here. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. If you are interested, tomorrow we are doing a sit-down episode. So have your questions and comments lined up, because we will definitely have some interesting stuff to talk about. On Monday, we will definitely recap Raw. We'll get into ratings, a little bit of the history show. And, you know, if you haven't checked out this past Wednesday night Dynamite, I gave a little tribute to the Iron Sheik right at the beginning of the show. I did it in a little bit of a different way, just personal experiences and, you know, remembrances growing up as a fan, and also addressing the non-wrestling media world out there who look at the Iron Sheik and still think that it's a stereotypical, recklessness to portray an Iranian American that way and stuff like that. You know, it's just sign of the times, Iran, 1979, 80s. You know, it's totally different time. I brought this up on a Q&A. Iron Sheik went into WWE Hall of Fame in 2005. That is 18 years ago. And look at that crowd reaction 18 years ago. They loved the guy. And he blew kisses and loved it back for more than 18 years. When he was in a gimmick battle royal, we all knew that it was a gimmick, that, you know, he didn't have this extreme disdain, hatred for the United States. You know, we could separate it. Some of the biggest villains in the movie world, you know, at the end of the day, we know we could separate the two. And yet still, people gotta try to, you know. Much love, everyone. I'm out of here. I will catch you all again if you're around Sunday night, 8 o'clock, for the sit-down. Otherwise, Monday, 11:05 p.m. on Raw. And if you're part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, Kevin and I will be live Tuesday in the Discord at 10:05 p.m. And if you're not a patron, no worries, DonTony.com. We will have that show up sometime around midnight. Tuesday night. So take care, everybody. Have a good weekend. Enjoy.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.